Ethics of Science and the Review Process, or rather review processes within science. Now, when thinking about review, one might first of all think about peer review of a particular research process or research results or a paper. And this goes back to the basic ethos of science, where scientists are supposed to be critical towards any claims that are made. Now, on this level, the peer review works in a way that it allows to get feedback, suggestions that promote quality of research. Also, as everybody knows, that the research is going to be reviewed, it encourages reflection on the individual level of a scientist. Now, when review is done, then it allows visibility in science and society. The reviewers, first of all, will be given information on what's going on the field, and all that. However, the problem with rigorous review is that it is rather time-consuming and costly. If one thinks about the hours that are put into review of an individual paper, there's several people that are going to read a paper, and then they will review it critically, and possibly the review ends up in declining the paper, or it goes back to the writer or researcher to be rewritten or corrected and so forth. A review process of a single research paper can take up to years, which is obviously problematic when looking at the scientific enterprise. It slows down the dissemination of research. However, the point is that the quality of research is such an important matter that one just has to eat up the negative consequences. Now, if we take a broader view on the review process, not only individual papers are reviewed, but pretty similar idea applies to hiring scientists, giving funding for research projects, evaluating departments, disciplines even, or sub-disciplines, evaluating progress within a project or career of individual researchers and so forth. So the review and evaluation is something that is done on multiple levels at multiple phases of different processes within science. Well, how is the review done? Now, one thing is that who does the evaluation or the review? Answer would be experts. Now, how is it problematic? Well, the end result of the review is dependent on the quality of the experts that are doing the review. And we could easily realize that having a friendly reviewer would be resulting in a favorable evaluation, whereas choosing an evaluator that actually isn't that positively inclined would result in a negative review. Experts that are chosen for review can have enormous power relating to, let's say, funding or evaluating a quality of a research project or a research plan and so forth. Pretty much everything hinges on what are the experts like. Now, how is the expert set then to be chosen? There's a number of possibilities. One could choose individual evaluators, or one could form a panel. And the difference is that individual evaluators would give independent evaluations of, let's say, a project. A panel would try to form a consensus on the results, and one could have something that is in between individual or panel evaluators. That is, one could have individuals that communicate with each other and try to form an evaluation that somehow takes into account other evaluators. So there's all sorts of possibilities here. As human enterprise, this sort of a panel or a set of individuals could result in a situation where experts have different opinions on the value of the evaluated thing. So, and it is the case that sometimes, for example, dissertations might get radically different kinds of evaluations. Research projects might get radically different kinds of suggestions or gradings. Universities that are evaluated on the quality of research, for example, might get one grade from one expert and quite another kind from another. Well, the criteria also, what is used for the evaluation is critical to bring out an example. It is rather interesting that every year one can see evaluations or ranking lists of universities, and if one compares the lists of different ranking operations, then one can see that there are some considerable differences in the evaluations. And that obviously is caused by the fact that they use different criteria. So one could easily see that besides who the experts are and how they are chosen, relevant is also to look at the criteria that is used. A specific example that shows also the meaning of the evaluation is that a couple of years ago there was a discussion in Finland within the political sphere as to what is the quality of university institution in Finland, and different universities as they are ranked rather differently in certain lists. The best universities are in the top 100 of the world universities, whereas the bottom rankings for some universities goes to say 500 or the best 1,000 universities in the world. And one ought to be careful when looking into these kinds of statistics or evaluations or rankings, because if one realizes that there's maybe 25,000 universities across the world, it is the case that all Finnish universities would belong to the top 5%. And it somehow seems a bit problematic to say that there are not so good universities in Finland, since all the universities belong to the top 5% of the world university ranking lists. So the rankings are obviously relative to each other, and also the ranking doesn't give that much information as to what is the difference of level considering the quality. Let's say we could have a ranking of 100 and 500, and even though it might seem to be a large difference, in the end it could be the case that there's not that much qualitative difference between those rankings. Okay, well, what are the criteria of ranking universities? That's a whole different matter. I will not go into that at this point. Rather, I'll go into the possibility of the evaluation as to whether to evaluate or review a thing either before or afterwards. It seems that pre-review is in place when looking into grants or projects or positions. Post-review is a review process where afterwards it's or rather after the merits it is seen whether the success is good or not. Different things are more naturally pre-reviewed rather than post-reviewed and the other way around. Obviously, pre-review is something that projects towards the future, which is not quite the same as looking at the merits afterwards, how researchers or projects or universities have done in the past. Okay, I'll leave that as it is. And go into the material. This is about the way that the evaluation is done. Sometimes, depending on what's evaluated, publications or portion of publication set is reviewed. When looking into whether to hire a person to a university, many times publications is the main source of data for the evaluation process. Sometimes part of publications or a set of publications is chosen for review. But when looking into, let's say, efficiency or the organization of a research institute, a site visit, an interview might be in place. And in Finland, for example, for some years already, a lot of evaluation processes have been underway, and every few years each university is reviewed for their quality and their organization and all that, and included into those kinds of reviews the evaluators would visit sites, go into research institutes and do interviews and try to figure out what the everyday life is like in an institution. Okay. Well, the procedures might differ. As I mentioned earlier, we could have different kinds of sets of evaluators or reviewers. They can be separate or an independent, or they could be joint evaluations or a panel. However, the review is set out to be, some choices have to be made, and the pros and cons for each procedure should be looked into. Now, what might be interesting to add here is that one could want to have generalist reviewers looking into an overall performance, or one could have specialists of specific fields that look deeper into some certain aspect of whatever's reviewed. These would give rather different kinds of results. Generalists might look into different matters than specialists, and the outcome could depend on what the strategy of the procedure is. When evaluating, let's say, a performance of an university, one could ask, what is it that is actually evaluated? If the task for the evaluator is broadly defined, then the leeway for the evaluator is obviously rather large, and one may not predict what the outcome is, because it could be up to the evaluator to decide on what is defined. Whereas if the task is strictly and narrowly precisely defined, then one could have an idea as to what the outcome is. Now, what is asked from the evaluators? Is it a rating type of evaluation or a ranking type of evaluation? The ranking is about putting the evaluated things into order. Let's say the universities can be put into order according to some criterion. Whereas rating is to put the evaluated thing on a scale, and that's rather different. Well, a difficult and rather demanding task for an evaluator is that in many cases, when looking into institutions and their performance, one ought to be able to look across disciplines. And obviously, as no one can be an expert on many disciplines. The general view or general overview can be related to the actual work only in some secondary sense. That is, how is it measured that a discipline in a certain university is doing well or not? And the matter gets even more complicated when realizing that some research processes belong to many disciplines, or rather the same issue is researched in many disciplines, and we can talk about multidisciplinary research. A little bit different kind of research is interdisciplinary, where knowledge is gained or transmitted towards another discipline. And cross-disciplinary means that there's some sort of a fusion between disciplines. And when thinking about these, one ought to realize that these are rather demanding tasks, or rather evaluating many disciplinary research is a very demanding task, because the researcher or the evaluator must have an idea on how these different disciplines work, at least on a general level. And finally, some problems that are related to evaluation on a general level. Now, question: how does quality compare with numbers? Numbers are rather nice because they seem to give precise information. However, when looking into qualitative things, it is rather difficult to assign a number to a quality in a way that actually is informative and true. Now, sometimes it seems that numbers are assigned to qualities without too much attention as to how the number and the quality are matched. Evaluation, should we take a wide or a narrow range when evaluating something? That depends, obviously, on the purpose of the evaluation and the thing that is evaluated. When looking into researchers or research projects, we might take a communal perspective or an individual perspective. If we look at individuals, then it doesn't matter that much whether a person is a loner within a field that is not well connected, or if the person is well connected, the person is still evaluated as an individual. However, if we take a communal point of view, then loners would be in a difficult position, because it is seen that the connectedness is seen somehow as promoting the quality of science. Now, a number of different kinds of tools have been developed to evaluate researchers and research papers and all that. One rather influential tool for evaluation is so-called citation index. That is, it is calculated how many citations each research paper is getting. And the idea is that if a research paper is highly cited, that is, it has many citations, then it is seen as impactful or important or whatever quality you'd like to attach to the number. Now, it seems that this could be seen as objective criterion, and in a sense it is. We can count citations rather well. It can be automated. However, when citation indexes are used in evaluations, we run into problems because different disciplines have different kinds of cultures, in the sense that some disciplines have more research groups than others, and then if a research group is responsible for a paper, then each of the researcher will get a citation, and more citations are so to speak available for research groups than individuals. And this can be dealt with in a certain way. However, as disciplines also have different sizes, then the overall number of citations can vary across disciplines. Also, the number of citations as such is not necessarily a very good indicator of the quality of research, because different journals seem to have different qualities to them. That is, some journals are more rigorous in their review, and the research that is published in them seem to be much more high level quality-wise than in other journals. So one runs immediately into a number of different problems when looking at citation index type of a tool, and one should be critical about those tools. What are the factors that influence the productivity of a scientist or a group of scientists or whatever you're looking into? If the productivity is regularly and rigorously measured and very frequently measured, one should look into the idea of the whole process of measurement. Now, the point that I'm trying to get at here is that human beings are peculiar in the sense that whenever they are known to be evaluated, that would affect the behavior of that individual. There's a famous example from another field. Factory workers were studied as to their efficiency and how lighting is affecting their productivity. And the researchers found a peculiar phenomenon. Whenever the lights were dimmed, the productivity raised, and they further dimmed the lights and the productivity raised. And in the end, the workers were working almost in darkness within the factory, and their productivity was at the peak almost. And then, when the lights went back on, and the lights were brightened up again the productivity raised. And what they found out in the end was that the workers tried to be more productive whenever they realized that they were under scrutiny. So it is rather difficult to actually pinpoint the actual causes or the natural causes of productivity, and it is not the case that the evaluation as such actually can pinpoint the real causes of productivity. When doing evaluation, the experience of a researcher is rather important. Those who go on whatever they're evaluating for the first time, they, I think, are in a position that is rather difficult. Okay, one more point relating to this. Science, by certain definition, is something that aims at novelties. And one could say that if a scientific field doesn't produce novelties, that is, new knowledge, then it is stagnated. Now, the big question is, what is the secret of innovation? How is it produced? And it seems that in the past, innovations have been somewhat unpredictable. And if one aims at high productivity and high level of innovation, then the problem is, how could we be certain that our evaluative tools actually promote innovation in the end? It could turn out that certain types of evaluations actually are counterproductive from the point of view of innovation, because it could be that organizations and research groups and individuals actually start to be conservative. That is, they want to do well in evaluations, and if the criteria and the methods of the evaluation are such that it doesn't promote risk-taking at all, but rather it promotes conservative forms of actions, then it could be that the evaluation process in the end actually is causing more harm than benefits. Okay, I'll leave the evaluation point of view here. I realize that this is a rather sketchy video on evaluation, but what I wanted to show is that evaluation, as it is used, can be problematic from the ethical point of view, because when doing evaluations, one ought to be wary of the motivations and the techniques and the procedures and the ways that the evaluation is carried out. And it seems that some of the issues are rather hard to evaluate, and the criteria might be rather hard to choose, and therefore it could turn out to be ethically problematic.